Well, good morning and welcome. My name is Britton. I'm the youth pastor here at Grace. Glad to see you this morning. If you were here last week, I will not be wrapping Vanilla Ice this week, so I know. Yeah, some of you are clapping. Maybe at the beginning of the business meeting, we'll see. Question for you guys. How bold are you? What are you willing to do? How bold are you? How far are you willing to go for the things that you love? When I was in middle school and high school, this might be a shocker, I was a pretty bold student. I'm actually a 31-year-old bold middle schooler now. But I was in drama, not like the, oh, I can't believe she said that drama, but like acting drama. I dressed up as the school mascot in middle school and high school. And so I was Wally the Wildcat in middle school, and then I was the Tiger in Newburgh in high school. And so I got to dress up and get all sweaty and jump around. And in middle school, I thought it was funny. When the kids came up, I would undo the chin strap and spin my head all the way around and freak out the kids. When we were at Winter Youth in high school, I went as a student. The youth pastor put us all in our rooms, and our room didn't have a youth leader in it, which was his mistake. And the next morning, he woke up, and all of our hair was bleached blonde. We decided to go to Safeway that night and buy hair bleach and get our hair all one different color, and then the next day, we decided to do it a different color and a different color. So every morning he woke up, we had different colored hair. My senior year of high school, I was in band all the way from like fourth grade till at my high school graduation. I played the trumpet. And our last senior concert, there was a song. I don't remember the name, but it was kind of a westerny, like that meat commercial that used to be on. Kind of had the little western song going on. It was basically that. And in my mind, I was like, that is like, I just want to like run around on like a horse or something when I hear that song. And so my band director, Mr. Elliott, got up to direct, and he looks back, and my chair's empty. Okay, this is in a beautiful Bauman Auditorium at George Fox, and my tux jacket is just sitting over my chair. Like, that's odd. Okay. And so he just keeps going, and all of a sudden, it kind of starts slow, and then it just, like, hits. And it's kind of that real loud western thing. And as soon as it hits, he hears this, yeah, coming from behind the auditorium. And I made cow print chaps. And I had a little vest and a hat and one of the little stick horses. And I decided to gallop around the whole auditorium while they were playing the song. And then it kind of went back down to low again, and I disappeared through a side door. And then it picked back up again, and I came up. And my ending was I hogtied my director while he was directing at the very end. And so, obviously, I wasn't in band anymore after that. Well, no, because I was a senior. But I wasn't always bold for the right reasons. I was always bold for myself, to make myself look like either funnier or people laugh at me or for whatever it was. But oftentimes I wasn't that bold for Jesus. I wouldn't talk about Jesus all the time in school. I wouldn't be willing to go out there and put myself out there for Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at this morning is boldly proclaiming Christ. Are we being bold enough that we want to talk about Jesus? We want to not just talk, but proclaim who he is in the gospel all the time. And so we're going to be looking in the book of Philippians. So if you would turn with me, Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. We will read through 12 through 18, the first part of 18. We'll read it all as a chunk, and then we'll kind of break it apart and see verse by verse, really, what does Paul say as far as being bold in proclaiming who Jesus is? Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from good will. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. And so a little context of what's going on here. Paul's writing this letter to a church in a town called Philippi. That's where we get the name Philippians. And so he's in prison while he's writing this letter. And he was in prison for talking about Jesus. That's why he was put there. Now, prison for them was kind of basically a cave. It was cold. It was just stone floor. There weren't seats. There wasn't like general mealtime. They couldn't go outside. He was basically stuck in a cave with iron doors. He was hungry. He was cold. It was stinky in there. He was beat up for talking about Jesus. There was physical pain. There was emotional pain. And yet we see in verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. All this that was going on with Paul, he says, is great for the gospel. Paul is not angry with God for what happened, right? There's no blame. There's no, God, why did you do this to me? There's no why me attitude. Paul is just so happy that the gospel is going out. And people have been hearing about God because of what is happening to Paul. Paul understands that the power of Jesus and Jesus' name is greater than anything man can do. And yet, how often do we, myself included, get mad at God when things don't go our own way? We go, really, God? You did that? Or don't you know, God, what I'm going through? Don't you know the things that I'm going through? And we often get mad at God because maybe it's not the most comfortable thing for us, and yet we don't take that time to proclaim who he is. We see in verse 13, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. So in this prison, Paul would be chained to another guard. That's how they kept them from really escaping. They would chain him to a guard, and this was a large man in armor. So Paul was constantly chained up, attached to this guard. And yet he took every single moment he had and he would talk to the guards about Jesus. People would come in and talk to him about Jesus. He'd be writing about Jesus. And you can imagine these guards can't get away. And Paul knows that. And so he just keeps talking about Jesus, right? And the morning shift would leave, the evening shift would come, get chained up to Paul, and he'd probably be like, hey, where'd we leave off? All right, you can't go anywhere. All right, so here's who Jesus is. And these guards would just constantly hear about Jesus. And you can imagine they would go home. Their wife would be, honey, how was work? I got chained to Paul again. He just wouldn't stop talking about this Jesus guy. Well, what do you mean? Like, what did he say? Well, he was talking about he's the Son of God. And the guard would start talking to his family about work and about Jesus. All of a sudden, even though these guards are chained up to Paul, the gospel is still going out. The guards are talking amongst themselves. Hey, did you get chained to Paul last week? Yeah. Oh, where did he get in the story of Jesus with you? Oh, I'm further along, huh? Right? And they start talking about Jesus and comparing, and the gospel is going out, even though Paul is chained to a guard. I've told you guys before, my favorite place to share the gospel and talk about Jesus as an airplane, because they also can't get away. They sit next to you, and you get to talk about Jesus, and they can't go anywhere. And if they do, I mean, they might meet Jesus, but like, I want to talk to him before that happens. And usually I get to, you know, start with, you know, what's your name? And then I give him my name, and I usually get a, what? Like Britain, like the country, but spelled differently. And, well, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a pastor. What? Usually you're too young for a pastor, or your hair is too stylish for a pastor. Thank you, by the way. Or like, you're not dressed like a pastor. What's going on? Oh, yeah, I'm a youth pastor. Oh, what does that mean? Oh, that means I get to hang out with the students, throw dodgeballs at their faces, and talk about Jesus. Well, and then they always ask me this question. Well, what do you teach them? Like, just, you know, I just get a... what do you teach them? I teach them about Jesus, and I get to share the gospel with them. And if they don't like it, they're still sitting next to me because I pick aisle seat. But it's not just the guards. The gospel is going out everywhere. Word of Jesus Christ is going out throughout the city. Everyone's talking about Jesus. It's like ancient Twitter and Facebook. People are sharing Paul's posts everywhere about Jesus. He's trending. Jesus is actually trending here because of Paul being in prison. And people are hearing the gospel. Remember, Paul didn't steal anything. He didn't kill. He didn't break the Old Testament law of getting jealous over his neighbor's ox. Right? He was just simply preaching Jesus. And that already is going out. Why is that guy in prison? Oh, because he was talking about Jesus. Did he do anything else? No. And they start talking about, well, why is Jesus so controversial? Why is that such a big deal? And we see verse 14. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. These other Christians have become more confident in their faith because of Paul. Well, if Paul can preach the word while being chained to a guard, how about me as a free man? How can I proclaim who Jesus is? They might even be thinking, well, if I ever go to prison, oh, I can spread Jesus' word as well. I can't wait to get chained to a guard and talk about Jesus. They were focused more on sharing Jesus than they were on what would happen to themselves. They didn't care what would happen to them. They just wanted to boldly proclaim who Jesus Christ was. It didn't matter if they were going to prison. It didn't matter what happened. They just knew that the power of Jesus' name was greater than anything man could do. And that's how they lived. So how bold are you in preaching Christ? I have to ask myself that question as real. For real, so how bold are you? Do you jump at every opportunity to make his name big and your name small? No matter what other people think, no matter what response you might get, if Jesus or religion gets brought up in conversation, maybe at work or with your friends or with your family or strangers that you just met, do you stay quiet? Hoping that no one will ask you or look you in the eyes? Do you try to change the topic? Or do you try to keep it going? Do you try to take that chance to talk about Jesus? Every opportunity you have to talk about Jesus. And I'm reminded of what's said in 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Always be ready to give an answer when people ask you about that hope. What makes you different? What makes you happy when things aren't going well? Why do you have this personality that you just want to help people? And we're commanded to always have an answer for that, to always be able to talk to people about Jesus. Now, admittedly, in high school, I didn't do that. I didn't talk about Jesus. I grew up in the church. My grandpa's a pastor. They were missionaries. My mom's a kids director. Like, I grew up going to church. I went to youth group. I did Awana, even through high school. And yet I didn't talk about Jesus. I wasn't bold in school. And I've told the students this before, but it hit me one time when we were talking about youth group, and one of my friends said, I had no idea you were a Christian. And I was like, whoa. They had no idea. And think about your own life. Are there people close to you that would be shocked to find out that you were a follower of Jesus because you never talk about him? You never mention the name of Jesus. You're always skirting away from those conversations. And for me, that was hard. That was hard to hear. I thought I was living my life for God, but I never talked about him. His name never came out of my mouth unless it was at church or youth group. And my friends, they didn't know. They didn't know I was a Christian. Even so, some of them on Facebook, they've asked me, you know, hey, Brent, how's it going? What do you do for a living now? Oh, I'm a pastor. What? And I wasn't a bad student. I didn't get in trouble. But I didn't talk about Jesus. Right? In high school, I told them I wanted to be a middle school teacher. I wanted to be a middle school science teacher. And so that's kind of the way they thought I was going. And then when they found out I was a pastor, they were shocked. So how do you become bold in talking about Jesus? How do you become bold in proclaiming who Jesus is? Well, Paul tells us a little bit of that in Romans. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you look at verse 17, for in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. There's no shame in the Jesus game. Paul says, do not be ashamed. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. You are, as a Christian, you are on the winning side. Just to let you know, spoiler alert, God wins in the end. You're already on the winning team. So imagine you get a step on the court, the ice, the field, and you're going against this team that looks huge, that looks like they can't be defeated. In my mind, I automatically think Space Jam with the big monsters and the Looney Tunes. But imagine you get, and these guys are huge. They look like they have the most skill. And you're like, I have nothing. But going into that game, you know the outcome. You know that you will defeat them and that you're on the winning side. You're probably going to play a little bit different. You're going to be more bold in what you do. You're willing to take those risks knowing that you are on the winning side. And that's how it is with Jesus. We know the end. You can turn to the end of this book and see what happens. Jesus wins, right? He comes in on a white horse pulling a flaming sword out of his mouth with a tattoo on his leg that says, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, right? It's written on there now. Don't think it's Sharpie. And so, like, Jesus comes in like that and defeats Satan. We're on the winning side. So how do we become bold in preaching Christ? Knowing that we've already won. Jesus has already won. How else do we become bold? We don't do it alone. It's community working in community. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about that, right? We're one body but many members. We get to work together, all supporting each other to proclaim who Christ is. Now, we often are only bold in the things that we know, right? For me, I'm bold in talking about hockey and talking about rugby, right? I also have this random skill that no matter how many youth are there, I can order the right amount of pizza every time. Am I right? Have you guys ever not had enough pizza? Right? Every time, there's always leftovers. We're bold in the things that we know. So to be bold in Christ, do you know Jesus? Do you truly know him? Do you talk to him daily? Do you read your Bible? As you're reading your Bible, what happens if something comes up that's confusing? Do you pull a Frozen and just let it go? Right? Do you try to find the answer somewhere else in the Bible? Do you ask someone? Do you ask friends, family, pastors, leaders, those people that are around you? Pray and read your Bible and know Jesus, and you will become more bold. Know Jesus, and you will proclaim Jesus. The more you know Jesus, you will want to let everyone else know who Jesus is as well. we look back to Philippians, starting in verse 15, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. There's two ways we can proclaim Christ: with envy and rivalry, or with goodwill and love. Now, there was a group that they preached Jesus out of envy and rivalry. These men were preaching Christ in order to stir up controversy and make it more so more people noticed Paul in prison, but not for Christ's sake, just so they could notice that Paul was in prison. This is what I call the modern day internet trolls, right? Those people that just post something on Facebook just to stir up controversy. Right? The more they could stir up in Rome, the more Paul would be beaten and imprisoned. If we can make more people annoyed by Jesus, more people will despise Paul. That's a great idea. These people weren't anti-Christ. They were anti-Paul. They used Jesus to get to Paul. And they obviously didn't grasp the power of God versus the power of Paul. One's a lot bigger. Right? The power of God is so much bigger because there is no power of Paul. And if we're honest with ourselves, this is still in the church today. Right? We battle against each other even though we're on the same team. Do you love Jesus? Me too. We're on the same team. It doesn't matter if you raise your hands in worship or put them in your pockets. We're on the same team. It doesn't matter if your pastor wears robes or jeans. We're on the same team. It doesn't matter if your music is plugged in or acoustic. We're on the same team. If you love Jesus as your Savior and you view him as the only way to the Father, we are on the same team. And yet there's people that preach Christ and try to divide the church. The other way is out of goodwill, right? They preach Jesus because they love him. And they want others to know and love him as well. We see 1 Corinthians 13, right? The love chapter. Love is the key to telling other people about Christ. And yet this is the part that we often lack with evangelism, with preaching, and with teaching. We don't do it out of love. And we see Paul's response here in verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Paul's response to all of this, we know Paul's other letters that he's written, the doctrine of Jesus Christ is very important. And yet he's sitting here in prison, and he knows he can't physically go out there and proclaim Jesus. And yet he is so happy that Christ is being preached. He doesn't care if it makes him suffer more, as long as Jesus' name is going out there. He knows that Jesus is greater than Paul. And he wants love to be lived out as Jesus' name is shouted out. And something to remember, these men that are going out, they weren't false teachers. Their motives were just wrong. And yet, the Jesus they were representing wasn't really the best. And sometimes the only view of Jesus people have is how his followers act. As Christians, we represent Jesus, or as I've heard it, we represent Jesus. Now, could Jesus have Saul to Paul'd anyone he wants, right? Just flash of light and he's there? Absolutely. But does Jesus use us, his followers, to proclaim his name and the good news of the gospel? Absolutely. And we need to stop seeing proclaiming Christ and talking about Jesus as a chore or a task. And actually start seeing proclaiming Christ and the gospel as one of the greatest privileges known to mankind. We get to tell the good news that a sinless Savior died for sinful people. What a privilege we get to share the gospel. I see what I get to do on Sunday mornings and during the week as a privilege. To open up God's word and be able to share it with people. It's not a chore. Now, admittedly, there's times that I've thought it's been a chore or a task. but I want you and myself included to change that mindset. Talking about Jesus shouldn't be a chore. It should be the greatest privilege to talk about God. In Paul's case, the gospel was still being taught in its fullness. It was Jesus-centered. Sin equals bad. Us equals helpless. Jesus equals Savior. And yet the gospel still teaches of suffering for God is good. So these men just looked foolish, pointing out that let's make Paul suffer more. And yet, if you've read the book of Job, Job suffered. Right? He loses everything he has. His animals die. He gets sores all over his body. His 10 children die because the roof collapses on them. And yet Job never badmouths God. He simply rejoiced in who God was. So I want to encourage you, be bold. Do not be ashamed of being on Team Jesus. You're on the winning team. You've already won. Proclaim Jesus, and that doesn't mean you whisper Jesus. You proclaim Jesus. You're proud. You do it with confidence, knowing you are proclaiming the winning team. And we should know that we're going to suffer. People won't like what you say. If we look in the book of John, John 15, starting in verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. Don't be surprised. The more you proclaim Christ, the more you're going to suffer. It's going to happen. But no, when you suffer, you're doing something right. We live in a sinful world. If you preach the gospel to a sinful world, they're going to push back. If the world loves everything that you say about God, you're probably not saying it right. Know that when you suffer, that's good. That means you are preaching the gospel. You are preaching that we as people cannot do it on our own and that we need a Savior. So when it happens, be ready. And just as Paul does, rejoice. Rejoice when you suffer because it means that you are boldly proclaiming Christ. And keep on going. Look out for every single opportunity that you have to share Jesus and do it with love. And be excited that Jesus is being proclaimed. Be excited that you have the privilege to talk about Jesus. So I want to encourage you, boldly proclaim Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning that we get to be here. We get to open up your word, the Bible, learn more about you. I pray that everyone in here, myself included, that we can be bold, that we can stick out, that we can talk about you and not miss an opportunity to share the gospel with the world. God, give us your energy, give us your peace, give us the words. We know the Holy Spirit will be working inside of us as we proclaim you. God, we love you. In your name, amen.